This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi and in Ely who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began this good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favour of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Amen. Let's just pray for Sat as he comes to speak now. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing poured out upon us and for your blessing placed in Sat. We ask now that you would equip him as he speaks, as he shares what you have given him. Lord, may it land in our hearts the words that you want for us to hear today. Bless us now as we listen, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I start sharing from God's word this morning, I just want to give church family a time to maybe highlight a verse or something that might have come to your mind in related to this passage that you would like to share with us as a church family. Take a moment or two, if there's a verse that you thought, oh yeah, that's a lovely verse. This is a time for us to just say, yeah, I want to read that verse again. I was trying to avoid.
It's the bit where he says, I long for all of you with the tender affection of Christ Jesus. It's the word tender.
Thank you. See, I don't have enough patience. So I say, when I say a few moments, it just might mean 30 seconds. But in between, if we are given an opportunity and if there's something that comes, please make use of that time, because it's a time for us to learn together as a church family and not to just wait for a person who's supposed to speak to share everything. I'm going to ask a very, very difficult question. You know, generally in church context, the difficult question is, what did we preach last time? Or what did I preach last time? Okay, and that's the difficult question. Extremely difficult question is, when I came here for the first time, you know, on that day when you were all looking at me, oh, is he the one? And what he's going to preach? And what is he going to preach in a good style? Will we like his sermon and all that stuff? What passage did I preach from? Now, first time. That was second time. You're right. That was second time when I came. We were going through the book of we were going through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. And we were talking about, see, at least he remembers my second sermon. Thank you for that. which is really good. I think the church family was going through the book of Acts, and we were talking about a story where Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were in the city of Philippi. Do you remember we were talking? We spoke about that thing, and we went through the events that happened in that city of Philippi. And when I started preparing for this sermon this morning, I said, wow, that's interesting. You know, I preached on that, and today we are going to start a sermon series that Paul wrote to this church of Philippi. Now, Paul, when he came to this city, it was around 50 to 52 AD. You know, Paul was a crazy traveler. He liked traveling. He never liked settling down to one place. And so he kept on traveling. So he did his mission trips. And in his second mission journey, he visited to the city of Philippi, established a church, or at least sowed a seed of God's truth in that city. And then church started. Paul never got opportunity to come back to this city. Okay, and then we read in Book of Acts what happened with him. And I suppose Luke, not one of the greatest storyteller, because he never finished his story in Book of Acts. Like he finishes his story suddenly in between. But we know that Paul was in prison, and that's where the Book of Acts ends. And Paul, when he was in prison, he did not think, oh, poor me. I worked so hard for the Lord, and see how I'm here in prison. I'm not really sure what's going to happen with my life. Let me keep crying about it. Let me look at all my problems and do nothing about it. And Paul was not doing that. Paul was making most of his time, even in that situation. And that's where Paul wrote this epistle to this church of Philippi. So when we read the verse in Philippians chapter 4, where he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, he was not having a good time on the beach and having a nice, lovely, relaxed holiday where everything on his list was getting done. He was in the prison, not really certain what would happen with his life. And in that context, he's telling this church, rejoice in the Lord always. So Paul was writing his epistles to this church in that context. Now, city of Philippi was through and through a Roman city. They took a great pride in their Roman culture. So this is one of those unique cities where Paul visited, where there were no people who had any reference of Old Testament. So you would, in the book of Philippians, or in the epistles of Philippians, you would not see Paul quoting anything from the Old Testament directly, because for them it was like, okay, it's another book. So Paul was writing to this church, and naturally Paul established the church, and church being church, people being people, things started really well, but then there were certain issues and Paul heard certain things, and therefore, as always with most of his letters, he is responding to certain queries and certain issues that he was aware of. And from now on till just before Easter, we would be going through this book, Letter to Philippians, and looking at all different aspects and issues or things that Paul is talking about. But in all this, what Paul was trying to do is to tell them how to live like Jesus. And that's the title of our sermon series that we would be focusing on. In fact, that is one of those titles that can be applied to any book, even in the Old Testament at times, and to say, oh yeah, how to live like Jesus. But when I was reading this passage this morning, and not this morning, during the week and during the last few weeks, it would be wrong if I start reading the passage this morning and stand here, right? And you'd be like, oh, that's bad. There was one word that came to my mind. Can we please have that image slide? Thank you. There are three things that Paul is talking about in this passage. And in all this, the word that came to my mind was consistent. And we would try to understand this passage through the lens of this word consistent, being consistent in work, love, and character. But before we go there, I just want to make a few comments on the introduction of how Paul introduces himself. Now, Paul and Timothy, who was Paul's companion, very good friend, who was Paul's student in a way, whom Paul was teaching about Lord and helping him grow spiritually, he addresses himself and Timothy as slaves of Christ Jesus. Mind you, these people would completely understand what the word slave means. Because it was not a rarity for them to see someone who was slave. It was a common thing in society, in community that day, in those times, to see people who were slaves, who had no freedom of their own, who had no choice to say, oh, I'm a bit tired today. Can I not do it today? Can I do it tomorrow? Or maybe who had no choice to write a letter to say, oh, because my so-and-so is sick, because I want to go and watch football match, but then I cannot say that, so someone is sick, and therefore I want to take leave from my office. They had no choice in that regards. They were just to do what their masters will ask them to do. And therefore, when Paul is telling them that we are the slaves of Christ Jesus, so he is establishing the fact that we have committed our life totally to do what God wants us to do. Now, Paul was a big shot by then. People knew who Paul was. Though he had no Instagram channel, no YouTube channel, no big tours, no big posters around, people knew who Paul was. Because Paul was traveling around. Churches knew that Paul is one of the great key leaders of the church at that time. So he could have easily used his language saying, oh, you know I'm the great leader, so therefore I'm telling you to do this. But he is not. And I think that's the greatest quality of Paul as church leader is. Because even being a great leader of that time, he was humble. And I think that's a very important lesson for us to learn as a church family. We might be wherever we are, where God has blessed us. But true Christian life begins when we are humble in everything that we do. I think it would become a style, you know, hashtag slave of Christ. But to understand that, what it means to be a slave of Jesus Christ is really, really important. To say that it is not me, as Paul said, but Christ who lives in me. So it is not my plan, it is not my desires, it is not who I am, but it is what God wants me to do and what he wants to achieve through me. That's important. So that's how Paul starts his letter there. And then he goes on. So there are three sections from verse 3 to verse 11. Verse 3 to verse 6, he's thanking God. Verse 7 and verse 8, he is expressing his love. And verse 9 to verse 11, he is his prayer for this church. And in all these things, as I said, there is an aspect of being consistent in what you do. As we have read verse 3, it says verse 3, 4, 5. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ Jesus from the time you first heard it until now. So you have been consistently doing that. And he is thanking them. He is thanking God for what they have been doing. Now, I you know, the word partner that is used here is the same word in Greek that they use to translate to fellowship. And the word is koinonia, which we might have heard, which we might not have heard, but that's the word that they use. And then fellowship is a general common translation of the word. But in this context, the word in most of the Bible translation is used as partners. So what is the difference between fellowship and partners? Why do you think it is not used as the word fellowship in this context? In this context. Because, go ahead, Helen.
It's a bit more active and outward focused in terms of there's a job to be done.
Exactly. Thank you. Fellowship is more of being together. Partners is working together. And that's the aspect that Paul is trying to highlight, that we are working together. We're not just being together. Yes, we are being together, but in being together, we are also actively doing things that God wants us to do. And it is not anything. It is the work of gospel. It is spreading the good news. Now, not every member of this church in Philippi was a great evangelist. Not every member in this church of Philippi were great orators. Not every member in this church of Philippi could stand and preach. But Paul is thanking God that they were doing the work of good news, and they are partners, so they are equally responsible. They are equally sharing the load. They are equally doing what God wants them to do. Whether you can preach or whether you're able to just stand in the street corner and just chat with someone. But we are equal partners in what we are doing. And Paul is thanking them that they were consistently doing that. Now, one of the things that we often see in our walk with Jesus is we start doing things. You know, we spoke about New Year resolution, and we take New Year resolution and we do things, and we do it with a great joy and a lot of enthusiasm, and slowly it goes down. And it's a very similar thing with things that we want to do with the Lord. Lord, yes, I've decided to pray for 3 people every day this week onwards or this year onwards. And slowly, it starts fading out. Lord, I've been praying for the opportunities that you would bring in opportunities for me so that I can share God's love with them, though not directly and stand on their face and give a big sermon, but share the story that I have experienced with you. And slowly, we don't want to do it. We just move away from that. Slowly, we forget about things. You know, there was a missionary, Hudson Taylor. I don't know if you have ever heard his name. When he was young, God gave him a big burden to reach to the people of China. So with a great zeal, he prepared and he got in touch with the mission work there, and he went there and he served there for a few years. But he was sent back because he was very poor in his health. So he came back and he thought, okay, fine, I tried. God, see, you told me I tried, okay, and I'm done with that. Let me do my own business. No, he didn't do that. He prayed about it, he worked over it, and he established another Christian mission to go back to China and share God's love with people in China. And for next 20 to 30 years of his life, he worked on that. And by the time he died, he was able to place a missionary in every district of China. He was able to win over... God used him to win over 20 to 25,000 people in China and share God's good news in that country. Why? Because he was consistently doing that. Church of Philippi didn't become one big mega church because they were consistently doing it. There were times people responded. There were times people joined the church. There were times people accepted Jesus Christ. And there were times people said, sorry, not interested. But they were doing it consistently. My dear church family, when we work for the Lord, when we take a step forward for the Lord, it would never happen, or it might never happen, that as soon as you start going out and share God's love, people will suddenly come, oh yes, thank you, we were just waiting for this. We might see failures. We might see at times that things are not happening. But when we work consistently for the Lord, God would continue to strengthen us in what we do. And Paul is thanking them for these efforts. Moving on. Verse 7 and verse 8. Again, as I said, Paul was in prison. And Paul says in verse 7 and 8, so it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and I long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. Paul was consistent in his love for this church. Paul, even in those circumstances. Now, historians tell that when Paul was writing this letter and three other letters that he wrote in the prison, things were quite very uncertain for him. He never knew then what is going to happen. Will he ever come back? Will he have his freedom back? He was not sure. But even in those circumstances, even in those situations, his love for this church was consistent. He expresses a desire to go and see them in this epistle. He expresses and tells them that, see, I still love you. And he got the biggest witness. He said, ask God. You know, in verse 8, he says, God knows how much I love you. So even in whatever situation I am in, with all my difficult timings and all the troubles that I'm going through, I still love you and I still long to see you. There is a consistency in his love for this church. And that is a true love. You know, love, the definition of love is a really washed down definition and understanding of love for us in this world today. When God loves us, there is no condition. There is no circumstances. There is no situation. He still loves us. Yes, we do sin. He loves and he waits for us to ask forgiveness for our sins. And Paul is consistent, following that God's example. I might be in a difficult situation. I am facing difficult circumstances in life, but I am in consistent love with you. I long to see you. And that's the sort of love, that's the kind of love we must have in the church family. That's the kind of relationships that we must have in the church family, where we are consistent in our love towards one another, where we are consistent in our care for one another, not based on situations, not based on circumstances, not based on how I'm feeling today, not based on how things are going in my life. Yes, things can be bad in our lives at times. But when we know and experience God's love, our love for one another is consistent. Moving on, consistent character. And that's Paul's prayer. And that's my prayer for us this morning. And for all of us this morning. Paul says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. And that is a basic requirement that we grow in love and that we grow in our knowledge and understanding. But I will come back to this verse. But I want to ask this. How can we be consistent? How can we? It sounds good, right? Being consistent and in our work, love, and character. But the question is, how can we be consistent? Yeah, if you have anything to share. Yes, Margaret. Margaret, is it something related to the question?
Yes.
Okay.
So, when you go into the doctors, you need to respect people who are waiting. You could go in to see them in the doctors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Margaret.
So we need to. Be respectful. People.
Yes, Margaret.
Is it? Go in to see the GP.
Okay, Margaret. Thank you.
Consistency in our own discipleship.
Consistency in our own discipleship. How does consistency in our own discipleship look like? Not necessarily she has to answer that. Maybe others can also share how the consistency in our own discipleship looks like.
To be able to sort of draw into the Lord and to be continually seeking His strength and purpose for what we have to do for in His name, not only for Him but for the people that we serve and for our church family, we need to be consistent in the love and the care that we show to them.
Good. But how?
Spending time with God, you know, reading the Word and praying and listening to what He has to say to us, so we know how to act.
Thank you. Anything else to add to that? See, it shows how good minister I was at Greenford, see?
Yeah, I think there's a line there that actually hit me at the start, but it said that your love will overflow. And I think, as Jen said, like spending time with God, then the love builds up. And then so it's kind of a self-sustaining, well, almost, I mean, it just kind of carries you. It's not like you're, because I think if you're trying on your own strength, then, you know, that's how this consistency goes down.
Thank you. I thought you were putting in some engineering stuff there.
Being consistent in your prayer life, so not just, you know, having your everyday prayers with God, but maybe there's something that you really need to engage with God for, and being consistent for that and not giving up and holding on to God's promises and being consistent that, you know, God's spoken to me about this and I want to see it through to the end with God. So being consistent in your prayer life as a thing that we need to be doing to communicate with God anyway, to engage with God, but also for the things that He's asked of us, to be consistent in asking His fulfillment of those promises in our life as well through the prayer life.
Thank you. Anything else?
Okay. I just think it means being consistent in your whole walk of life, how you treat others, how you engage in your workplace with people, show them respect, be humble, and just, you know, basically follow. Treat your neighbor as you would like to be treated yourself. It encompasses all aspects of our lives and to keep going, even when it's perhaps humanly speaking quite hard, to yet have another conversation with that certain person because they wind us up the wrong way, etc. So that was sort of...
Thank you.
And consistent about looking out for each other.
Yeah.
In church, if someone doesn't come up, you know, why? They're showing that love as to why, yeah. Being consistent in going out as treating them as family, in helping them out when they need to, or rejoicing with them when things go well.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Thank you. So how can we be consistent? By being rooted in the Lord's word. You know, Paul says in verse 9 that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. And where does that knowledge come from? Bible, clue, Bible. From where does that knowledge come from? From the word of the Lord. Because when we get his knowledge, when we get to understand what God wants to communicate with us, that helps us to understand. When we understand how much God loves us, that guides our way of life. And that is one of the forgotten discipline for many, many, many of us. I don't want you to raise your hands, but if I ask a question, how many of us had a personal time of devotion this morning? Just answer for yourself. Don't raise your hands. And until the time we continue to be rooted in the Lord's word, we would not grow in our understanding. And if we want to be consistent in our work, if we want to be consistent in our love, and if we want to be consistent in our character, we have to root our lives in the Lord's word. And in this modern day and age, doing that has given us so many different options. But gone are those days when you have to get up early in the morning and leave everything, read your Bible, and at times we are busy. And therefore, modern technology of listening to the God's word, having a Bible on your phone and reading it when you're traveling on your train, reading a Bible when you're in the bus, reading Bible in the cafe. There are options there. Being aware and reading God's word every day, my dear church family, is not an option for us. It is one of those things, it is the only thing, not one of those things, it is the only thing that helps us understand God's plan and purpose for us and for this world. And when we do that, we would be consistent in our work of being partners in sharing God's word. We would be consistent in our love. And we would certainly be consistent in our characters. You know, verse 11, it says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. And in NLT, it says, within the extra section, that the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. So a fruit of our salvation is not getting highly regarded, is not getting a great respect, is not getting someone who attracts everybody's attention, but it is getting being a righteous life. Life that knows what is right. Life that does what is right. Life that lives a life that is based on the principles of the Lord. Because God is the one who decides what's right. For the world today, being right or what is right or wrong is a very relative term. The truth has become a very relative term. For many in this world, there is no absolute truth. But for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the absolute truth. It doesn't change on circumstances, situations, and conditions. And if we want to be consistent, my dear friends, we have to root ourselves in the Lord's word. I'm not going to ask you to make a resolution now suddenly that this day onwards read God's word every day. But remind ourselves. Make it a practice. There are different options. There are different ways of being rooted in the Lord's Word. There are online devotions that we can get in our inbox. There are apps that are there on the phone. There are audio devotions that we can get on our phones. Read God's Word. Read God's Word. Read God's Word. There's no substitute for that. We can get a substitute for vitamin D. If there's no sun, we can get a medicine from the shelf. But for Lord's Word, there's no substitute. So as we start this sermon series under the title Living Like Jesus, Jesus was consistent in his relationship with his Father. Even in all the things that he was doing, he still took time to spend time with his Father. Let's be consistent in doing that. And let's ask God to lead us, to help us understand, and to have a life that is consistent in work, in love, and in character. Let's pray.